code at LifeLock.com.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor, the talk of Connecticut, AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
9/11 here on this Wednesday morning. It's Gary Byron, our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview. Chairs a four-term congresswoman, as well as a 2020 presidential candidate. She is a combat veteran currently serving as lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve. She's got a brand new book out. It's entitled For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Let's welcome to the show Tulsi Gabbard. Good morning, Tulsi.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
No, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. The name of your book, I get a kick out of it. I really like it. I think it's right to the point as well. As far as For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Let me start here. What were the factors that led to you leaving the Democrat Party behind?
Thanks, Gary. I'm glad you like the title. You know, for those who know me know that I generally get straight to the point, and I chose that title specifically because of what's at stake in our country today. I first joined the Democratic Party. I was 21 years old. Mm. I looked at the Democrat Party in Hawaii, and what I saw was a big tent party that welcomed people with different ideas, celebrated free speech, stood up for our individual civil liberties and privacy, and wanted to see a country that came together. Sadly, when we look at the Democrat Party as it exists today and the elite who are in power, they stand for the exact opposite of all of those things. They are doing all they can to censor free speech in America. They don't want to allow us to speak for ourselves or think for ourselves. Mm-hmm. They're undermining our fundamental freedoms and put their partisan interests and their power over the best interests of the American people in our country. So I left the Democratic Party, and I go into detail in every chapter of this book my experiences that drove me to make that decision. Because I have and will always put my country first.
I mean, you were right there, Tulsi, right in the fray of the Democrat Party in D.C. You caucused, you voted, you formed friendships. That must have been difficult for you, though. Did they feel that you betrayed them? That you were a traitor? As far as the friendships, I'm sure some you lost. While you've gained others as well, but what was that like to lose some of the relationships?
You know, Gary, I'm the fourth of five kids, the most incredible parents. They homeschooled us and really raised us to be critical thinkers and independent thinkers, which is how I've always been. I was embraced by the Democratic Party when I was first elected to Congress in 2012. Mm-hmm. They looked at my bio and they saw a lot of the kind of the superficial bio points that checked their identity politics boxes. And there was a bright future for me there if I had towed the line, went along with the agenda and followed the party line.
All right.
Very quickly, they realized that that's not who I am. And so I started to earn the ire of Democrats in leadership when I spoke the truth and I stood up for my principles and I stood up for my brothers and sisters in uniform in our country. So, yes, there are some people in the Democrat leadership, the Democrat elite, who believe I betrayed them, who very directly said, how, when President Obama was in office, how dare you stand against the president? How dare you go against your president? So this is something that they had been conveying in private and in public for quite some time. The thing that happened, Gary, that really was heartening when I left the Democratic Party was how many people I heard from across the country who feel the same way that I did, who had that same frustration that I did about the direction the Democratic Party was headed. And that's where I believe there is those people that I wrote this book for, or for their family, those who already know the truth and have a family member who still needs to needs to have their eyes opened about the threat that the Democrat elite pose today to our fundamental freedoms, to our security, and our ability to live in a peaceful, free society right. in the future.
Is that what shocked you the most? When you were your four terms and you're learning as you're legislating and you're like I said, you're in that fray and you're caucusing with them. What shocked you the most? Was it that our liberties are being eroded by the party that you're a member?
Oh gosh, there's a long list of things that were very eye opening as I went through my 8 years in Congress. You know, how so many members of Congress are more concerned about fundraising and winning their next election than they are about actually doing the work of the people, learning about different issues and making decisions based on what's best for the people rather than what's best for the party. Yeah. This is at the core of what's wrong with Washington. They live in a bubble where they're more concerned about whose parties they get invited to and who they're associated with rather than actually doing the people's work. It was not only my 8 years in Congress, but my being a vice chair of the Democratic National Party for a few years, my running in the Democratic presidential primary in 2020, and each of these roles that I had, I sought to try to bring about change, positive change, that would make it so that the people's voices were heard and represented and that the people had a real choice in our elections and in our primaries. And as we've seen over and over again, as I experienced myself, the Democrat elite working with the propaganda media and big tech, they powerfully try to control who we are exposed to as voters, what we know about different candidates, and who we're allowed to vote for. And we're seeing that play out right now in this 2024 election.
All right, so in March of 2020, you ended your presidential, your bid for the president, and you endorsed Joe Biden. Was that something that you took under serious consideration, or were you kind of pressured into doing that?
It was my decision ultimately at that point in time as a Democrat who had just run in a Democratic primary. I felt it was my last option to be in a position where I could help influence Joe Biden, should he become president, to listen to his better angels. He talked a lot about trying to bring our country together. He talked a lot about, ending counterproductive regime change wars that are counter to our country's interests. He made a lot of promises, and I wanted to be in a position where I could potentially influence him and his administration to do the right thing for the American people. Sadly, he chose the path of darkness.
Yeah. You know, since leaving the House of Representatives, you've taken a more conservative position on issues such as abortion, transgender rights, and border security. Many of your positions are actually aligned with the Republican Party, yet you switched your party to independent, not Republican. You even endorsed Republican candidates, and you were a guest speaker at CPAC in 2022. Why didn't you just change your affiliation to the Republican Party if you've taken these conservative stances?
Well, first, throughout my time in Congress, on some of these issues that you raised, as well as others, I actually introduced legislation. These were not things that began once I left Congress. For example, I worked with now Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, senator from Oklahoma. We were elected to Congress together. He's a good friend. We worked together on legislation while I was there called the Protect Women's Sports Act, specifically because we recognized what the Biden administration was looking to do and the direction that the Democrat elite were headed in eroding our girls and women's opportunity and shoving this trans ideology agenda down our throats, specifically targeting the most vulnerable among us in our children. I introduced legislation related to abortion and banning late term and partial birth abortion and other things, and spoke on the presidential debate stage in 2020 about the need to secure our borders and how insane some of the policies that other candidates were pushing, saying that that illegal immigrants should be allowed to vote and that they should be allowed to get free health care and all these other things. you know, the decision really was made when I left the Democratic Party to become independent, was made because I saw an opportunity to be able to help influence and connect with others who maybe had walked a similar path that I had, who might not hear the message of truth coming from a Republican as much as they might from coming someone who, like myself, who can speak from that personal experience. And that's frankly what I'm doing right now, Gary. I'm traveling across the country every day talking to folks and getting to as many people as possible to share my experiences, give them information and facts about the truth about what the Democrat elite are doing to destroy our country, and how if they are allowed to remain in power, my deepest concern is that we will lose the country that we love. We will no longer have the America that we know and cherish and celebrate.
I value the fact that you are, you know, you don't beat around the bush. We were talking about this a little while ago. I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. Do you think elections are rigged?
Yes, they are rigged, but in many more ways than people realize. There are issues related to election integrity. This is why years ago in Congress, long before I even left, I introduced legislation that would have mandated paper ballots or a paper backup if you're using an electronic machine, and would have mandated that these electronic machines not be connected to any kind of internet service provider at any point, to harden that infrastructure. I recognize the issues with our election integrity, but when we talk about rigging the election, and I saw this in 2016 when I was a vice chair of the DNC, how the DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, was rigging the election in favor of Hillary Clinton. We saw how this was done by Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump in 2016 before he was even elected. We saw how throughout his presidency, they were rigging his presidency when people in our administrative state bureaucracy and deep state were doing everything they possibly could to undermine his presidency and stop him from being able to carry out the things that he told voters that he would do. We saw similar efforts going into 2020. So, yes, unfortunately, the powers of darkness have many tools that they use in order to try to, quote unquote, rig elections. We need to be very clear-eyed about all of those tools, especially as we are seeing now, they are politicizing and weaponizing the Department of Justice and law enforcement, both at the federal and state levels, to try to keep Donald Trump from, to try to keep the American people from being able to make their own choice, our own choice,
right,
about who we want to vote for as president.
I'm going to get back to your book in 1 second. Did the No Labels Party ever ask you to run on their ticket?
You know, I've worked with No Labels for many years throughout my time in Congress. There were some great pieces of legislation that were practical, that they were bipartisan, and actually sought to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working with them for a long time. I spoke with them in the lead up to their, I guess, probably over these last 6-8 months about what they were looking to do. You know, there was some beating around the bush, but here's the thing is No Labels. They wanted candidates who fit within the Washington establishment, and that's not me. That's never been me. That will never be me.
And what about RFK
Washington
Jr.?
Establishment is the problem.
Did RFK Jr. ever approach you in regards to being his running mate?
He did.
Yeah.
And it was something I considered very seriously. I like him very much and respect him and his care for the people and for our country. But respectfully declined his request.
All right, I'm not going to ask you to divulge everything in your book because I want people to go out and buy it.
Good.
No. I of course I do. I'm gonna. It's called For Love of Country: Leave the Democrat Party Behind. We're talking with its author, Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi, but what's one thing, just one thing that you can extract from it that the reader will be shocked to learn?
The length that the Democratic Party went with me personally to try to silence me and stop me from speaking for our country, and for my brothers and sisters in uniform, those who were killed in combat who never made that trip home.
Oh, wow. You see everything going on in New York in the protests, Yale, even right here in Connecticut, down in New Haven. What should the president be doing in response to the Yale and New York University and Columbia University protests right now?
Well, you know, I mean, there's basic law and order that needs to be enforced. You know, I am a huge advocate for and defender of free speech, even if I don't like that free speech. But our president and our leaders at the state and city level must enforce law and order to ensure to defend and protect the peace. There is a bigger issue here that I want to point to, though, Gary, that the president has a direct role and responsibility in exactly what's going on at Columbia University and in other places across the country. What we are seeing on these campuses is a direct result of President Biden and previous administrations' refusal to take on the ideological war that Islamist terrorist groups like Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Shabaab, other terrorist groups across the world are waging on all free-loving societies.
That's right.
Because we have young people on these campuses, they're not attached to an ideology. They frankly probably don't even know what's in the Bill of Rights and certainly aren't attached to the Constitution. They're very susceptible and vulnerable to the ideology that Hamas and the Islamist ideology that's being spread. But what our president must do is see this as a wake-up call. See the October 7th attack against Israel as a wake-up call. And take this head on, fight this ideological war, because it is the greatest short and long term threat to civilization and our democratic republic.
Tulsi, I got to wrap this up, but I'd be remiss if I didn't just bring this up before I promo your book one more time. Should Donald Trump extend the olive branch to Nikki Haley and get her endorsement as well as her supporters?
I don't think Donald Trump needs to extend an olive branch. I think that Nikki Haley, if Nikki Haley cares about putting our country first, she would recognize that Donald Trump's leadership is the way to defeat Joe Biden and start to bring our country together and get us back on track.
Yeah, and listen, the timing of your book is perfect, by the way. And I've heard several names, but only maybe three who are in serious contention to be Trump's running mate. So, Tulsi, if he were to ask you to be his VP, how would you answer that?
I would respond by saying that I would be honored to serve our country, to be in a position to save our country, to defend freedom, and to protect the American people and the world from World War III and nuclear catastrophe. Because that's exactly where we are headed if the Biden-Harris administration is allowed to remain in power.
Yeah, so that's a pretty firm yes from you. Writing the book, it comes out today, and you're going out on a tour, I'm sure. And you said you're traversing the nation. How else are you staying involved in politics right now?
Well, in these elections, as you know, the party that remains in power of the House and the Senate will make a huge impact on whether or not we have good policies being enacted. You know, it's about offense and defense on the political front. So I am focused as I'm traveling across the country, not only sharing the truth about what's happening, but also finding those good candidates who are committed to the Constitution. That's the most important thing, because unfortunately we see even some Republicans who don't care for civil liberties, who are neocons, who are ready to go to war at the drop of a hat. We need leaders in Washington who are committed to the Constitution, committed to peace and prosperity and security for the American people. And those are the candidates that I'll be out on the road campaigning for.
Amen to that. The name of the book is For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Its author, Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure to talk to you. You can order your book today on Amazon or TulsiGabbard.com.
That's right. It comes right out today. Thanks, Tulsi. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Coming right back to Open Phones.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says he'll sign a